Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products and businesses, real life stories. With this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here is your host, Elizabeth.
Hello, hello, everyone. I think we got a dual intro there. I think I played it and it was playing. So if that was in stereo for you, sorry about that. I'm still kind of figuring this out with this new intro. Whatever, you know, it's all good. We've got Christopher Sash on the line with us. I'm so excited. He's the author of Transforming Your Lifestyle, One Belief at a Time, and we're really excited to talk to him. He's, you know, I've been looking at his pictures and I'm thinking, boy, I'm not in shape. I need to be more in shape like him. Oh, my goodness gracious. Beautiful, beautiful body, but also beautiful soul. Really nice guy. We're really excited to have him here. He's going to teach us a lot of stuff. And for all of you guys and girls feeling like you are in that New Year's mode where you've got all these resolutions to be a thinner you and a more healthier you and a fit you and all those things, well, we're going to maybe talk a little bit about that with him because I'm sure he's got some expertise there. And then before we get started, I have a commercial to run. I know this is new to the Best Ever You Show in 3 years of doing things. I don't run very many commercials, but we've got one, and it's for the book Percolate coming out here. It's my book with Hay House. I'm going to run this really fast. I know this is kind of awkward, but here we go.
Do you have a voice inside you saying that you want something better, yet you don't know exactly what? Discover how to lead your life of purpose and inspiration with the new book, Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through by Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. Learn the 9-point process for lasting change based on Elizabeth's own method, developed after nearly losing her life to an allergic reaction in 1998. Taste the magic as you bring the authentic best you to the world. Percolate is available for pre-order on Amazon and will be released in April wherever books are sold.
That's a Hay House thing. So thank you, everybody, to Hay House, and thank you to everybody at Blog Talk Radio. Our show has been featured now for 2 days in a row with Elle Evans. She's a star of the Blurred Lines video. So thank you very much for that, and we'll get Christopher some play and some features and all that stuff. So let's bring him on. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Are you frozen? You're in Chicago.
I'm here, Elizabeth. I'm frozen. Thanks for having me on the show. Warming up.
Yeah, we're warming up. We're warming everybody up. You're such a cool guy. It's awesome. Before we came on the air, I tweeted out this picture of you. It was the catwalk for the Steve Harvey collection or something like that. That's cool. Is that recent?
Yeah, I just did that in October. It was actually pretty funny because the manager who ran the show, she was all worried about me because I boxed in a charity event the day before, so she was worried I was going to have a broken nose, black eye. So there's always makeup, but everything went well. So that was in October, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looked like it was a lot of fun. And it was beautiful as ever, or handsome. What are you supposed to say to guys? Handsome as ever, I guess. I guess I better get that down with being the mother of four teenage boys. I'm used to saying you guys are so cute. But as they grow bigger, you know, it's like, yeah. Tell us a little bit about you. You're a fashion model, but you've also have crossover into being, you know, a celebrity, a healthy bodyologist. I love that. To Chicago's billionaires and CEOs, and you've got a lot going on. Do you want to just stop for a second and tell us all, you know, a little bit more about yourself? Be really helpful.
You know, I think a lot of people fall into this category where you have a set plan of where you're going to go and what you're going to do and how you're going to conquer the world. And that's where I was when I was in my 20s. And I actually went to school at DePaul and earned my finance degree. So I wanted to be a stockbroker. And the reason why I wanted to be a stockbroker is because I saw him in a movie and it looked cool. And that was the only reason I wanted to be a stockbroker. So I got this a finance degree, and it cost me a fortune because it was a private Catholic university. And I started working. I was an internal auditor at first, using it as a stepping stone to get to where I wanted to go. And I couldn't afford my student loan bills, so I had to get a part-time job to help pay that. So just by coincidence, at that very time, a friend of mine asked me if I would be available to help his friends do personal training. So during the day, I was doing internal auditing, and at nighttime, I was moonlighting as a personal trainer. And I just kept falling back into the fitness industry for some reason. And the owner of that company asked me, because he was starting up a new company, he asked me if I wanted to be the CFO of his new company. And I'm thinking, okay, at the age of 28, being a CFO, that's pretty cool. So the arrangement was that I would do the entire division of the personal training while he set up his new shop and slowly integrated me into the CFO position. Things didn't work out, so he couldn't afford me anymore, and he was in over his head with all the investments. So he bailed with a lot of investors' money and left me high and dry. So I didn't know what to do. I was there with a finance degree with all these student loans, and I was doing all this work for him. So I took half his clients and started my base with that, and I tried to get out of the personal training business, I don't know how many times, because I just felt like I wasn't fulfilling what I wanted to fulfill as far as my finance background. So I went back into the finance position, and I did a few other things with real estate, and I kept falling back into the fitness industry, as I said. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm supposed to be here for a reason. So I'm trying to figure it out. And during the 13 years of me being a personal trainer, well, now 15, I authored a book called Transforming Your Lifestyle. And what it was a collaboration of the 13 years of all the questions I had from every client of mine, from every person I ever met, whether it be on a plane or a bus or a train, and normal conversations. And there was a lot of the same questions. So I kind of figured that people didn't really know what health was. So I organized all these questions into a format and created this book from all those questions.
That's so cool. And yeah, I can tell you're kind of got like, I have a massive financial background, but I had a 17-year career in the financial industry, and I stopped in 2008 to create Best Ever You. And my whole life kind of just getting pulled back into fitness and pulled back into self-help and all this stuff. It's interesting. It's not really like in conflict, but it's rather like in complement. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, isn't it? So you're not really in conflict between finance and health. You're more in complement, because it seems like it always is there, just helping do all the things that you're doing. Yes?
Well, yeah, you know? Especially for being your own boss, being an entrepreneur, you have to know where you stand financially, and the whole background with my finance degree has really helped me, because I know I can read a balance sheet, I can do forecasts, and I can do breakdowns break even points now that I would have never been able to do before. So it really is helping me, and it's just amazing how you go through all these steps in life, and you don't know why you're going through it at the time. You think it's for one reason, but later on, 10, 15 years later, it's like, oh, I have all this knowledge and experience because of this happening to me, so now I can apply it to this part of my life and make my life easier or better.
Isn't that, this isn't political in any way, shape, or form, it's heart to heart, but isn't that just crazy when you go to a private Catholic school and have student loans? Oh, my student loans myself, I just must say. Those are crazy, aren't they? And
they say that it's a not-for-profit organization.
Yeah, that's wild. I just paid mine off not too all that long ago. So, those are some crazy student loans we have. It's interesting. I've got a child in college right now, and it's really expensive. I mean, even more expensive than, I don't know how old you are. I'm 44. How old are you? You're 45, yeah. So when we were, no big deal, we're 44, 45. But when we were in our 20s, it seemed like it was a lot less expensive than it is now. Boy, I'm looking at the college bills and the state university bill is the same price as what mine was private back then. It's crazy expensive. Anyway, all right.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I'm sorry.
No,
it's crazy you mentioned it, because there was an article that I was just reading. I was briefing on this article how the cost of education has increased 3 to 4-fold the price of inflation. It's crazy how much more expensive college is becoming year by year. It's kids aren't going to be able to afford it. Thankfully, parents, a lot of parents set money aside when they're young to be able to earn the interest so that they can afford to go to college or at least help go to college. But it's crazy. I don't know if I'd be able to do it because I put myself through school. I don't know if I'd be able to do it in modern day.
Yeah, I put myself through school too. Yeah, I put myself through school and was working and doing all these things just to get through. And, you know, I never thought I would have a conversation with one of my children that said something to the effect of, you know, maybe you don't have to go to college for what you want to do. Maybe there's other ways to do the things, because he wants to be a personal trainer and do all these things. I'm not so certain and positive you have to have a 4-year degree to do that and be successful. What do you think? From you've got that background, because now they do kinesiology degrees at the schools and things like that. And I'm not ripping on the schools or anything. I'm just curious, because he's awfully in debt already just in the first 6 months of being in school. Just can't
he
imagine
get very far,
at
did
the end
he?
Of the 4 years. Anyway.
There's many different certifications that you get. The one that I'm recertifying is with ACE, and that's like a great foundation of what a personal trainer will be going through. School will be even better because it delves deeper into all these issues so that they have a better understanding of the kinesiology and how the body works with movements and also with a little bit of with food. But I totally agree with you. I don't know if you really need a formal education. I'm self-taught on a lot of stuff. I got into personal training and I wasn't certified. The reason why I got into it is because I used to do amateur bodybuilding competitions, and I was doing pretty well in that. And people were asking me how I did this, how I did that, if I can help them get ready for their show. And that's pretty much how I got into this hands-on experience, and that's the best way with anything, is getting hands-on experience. And once you get your certification, it just means that, hey, you're certified. It doesn't mean that you can actually do the job. You need a hands-on experience, because every personality, you have to deal with personalities, you have to deal with timing conflicts, you have to deal with a lot of different things. And I'm wearing 12 different hats throughout the day because I have to match every one of my clients' personalities, how energy. Some of them have a lot of energy, some of them have not very much energy, some of them want to talk a lot, some don't want to talk. You become a cheap psychiatrist also, because they like dump on you with all their problems, and you're like, oh, dude, man. Is this hour over yet?
Hilarious. You get a finance degree, a psychology degree, a personal trainer by the end of it. Yeah,
right,
no,
you need a degree in everything.
Yeah, it's crack up. Yeah, my kiddo, he's 18, and he loves to train people for baseball. That seems to be his passion, is training people to get to baseball, everything. So I have no idea what he'll do with it, but it's very interesting. He also loves... Maybe he should interview you. Goodness, I should have thought of that. Now, kickboxing and Golden Gloves boxing, tell us about that, because that, like you were saying, are you all bruised all the time and everything, or is this, you know, kickboxing? It's all kind of, what's kickboxing?
What started that whole thing was I grew up in a few years, my adolescent years. I was living in the projects. My family is very poor. So we had to live in the government subsidized housing, and I was really small because I never ate. So I used to get beat up all the time. And I remember one time, all the time. I wish I could beat them now. But I remember vividly, I mean, it rings throughout my memory every time I'm in the boxing ring, is one time I got beat up. I think I was 10 years old, maybe 11 years old, and my father came home from the bars probably about 2 o'clock in the morning drunk, and I told him that I got beat up, and I asked him if he would teach me how to fight. And without hesitation, he's like, no. So I had to go out there and I had to learn how to do it myself. So with every unfortunate beating, I also learned a little bit more. And that's when I started doing like push-ups and everything I could to try to get a little bigger, so I wouldn't get beat up so much. And I kind of like carry that on. I'm sorry?
How'd that work out for you?
Today I'm doing charity work. I'm boxing for charities. The last charity organization that I did was for Mercy Home for Boys and Girls here in Chicago. And that one night we raised $925,000 in one night for me being one of the boxers, along with 19 other guys. So now I've learned how to put that destructive mode that I had. A lot of my years, I hated life. I hated myself, so I was in a destructive mode. And I just wanted to destroy myself. I didn't care if I lived or died. And now I'm finding things that going back to all these experiences and knowledge that we get from our past that we can bring into the future, now I'm using all this destructive stuff for constructive purposes. So it's making me happy that I'm actually helping the kids that come from my background in something that I had to learn how to do to just be able to get through the day, that I'm able to help them to get the money that they need for their education, for housing, and to build up their self-efficacy and their self-esteem and their confidence, all the things I didn't have when I was their age. So I'm trying to make their life a little easier, and I give back to the community.
Yeah, you know, that's what Percolate's all about. Did you know that? I don't know. Well, Mary said we'd be a perfect match, and I didn't know what she meant. She's like, you guys will get each other, and I'm like, because it all matches up perfectly, and I'm like, that's so interesting. And I'm glad I didn't know all that about you before we had this call, and I got to discover it, because one of my questions was going to be, what's your why? Because I always want to know with people, like, why they do what they do. I'm just really, I don't know why I always want to know that, but I just do. And there's always some very interesting reason for why people do what they do, and it's all interwoven together. And you know, you're living your life on sort of a mission to help other people now, based on what happened to you. And where did you start to turn that? Like, what age were you where you started to sort of turn that corner and start to do that? Was there somebody who showed you, hey, you know, you'd be better off if you did this, or did you just learn it, or how did you make that adjustment in your life to be doing all the things you're doing now?
You know, Elizabeth, that's really a really great question, because of the fact that I didn't have anyone guiding me. I didn't have any role models. My role models were actually movies. So, like, I always joke, but I'm serious at the same time, that Sylvester Stallone is really a big mentor of mine, even though I never met him. He's a two-dimensional mentor for me, because he came from a pretty bad childhood, and he created an empire through his physicality, and I followed him throughout his career and just kind of like mimic a lot of things that he did. Because I didn't have any guidance from anybody, my father wasn't around ever. I was tossed around, and I was abandoned at the age of 13, and a priest took me in and later on adopted me, but he wasn't physically abusive, he was mentally abusive. I went from one thing to another, from one bad situation to another one. But it did help my position a little bit, because he was very adamant about me getting an education, even though I didn't go to school until I was 24, 25. And I used to get in a lot of fights because of my background, and also me wanting to destroy myself. I was getting arrested all the time, so I was in jail two or three times a week from fighting. And the only thing that saved me at that time was that I was living with a couple of police officers, and they would come down to the police station and ask the arresting officers to let me out. So that would always help. So I kind of like said, okay, I have a free ticket to get out of jail, so I can do whatever I want. And that worked most of the time until the last time. And the arresting officers were like, we're not going to let him go, because he's in here two or three times a week, every week. So he needs to stay here for a while, and he needs to figure out what's going on with his life. And that was the day that I turned everything around, because those 24 hours, if anybody who's listening knows what an I-bond is, you'll know what I'm talking about. In the morning, you have to go to court. After you're arrested, you have to go in front of the judge. And the judge will either say, okay, you're staying in jail for X amount of time, or you can get out on an I-bond. And an I-bond is that you'll go back, you're promised to go back to court the following day, the following time that's listed on your I-bond, and you'll be there. And if you're not, then you get arrested again, and whatever happens, happens. But I had to stay in that jail cell, and it was cold, and it was dark, and I was all by myself in this little 12-by-12 cage, and there's no bed. I mean, there's a steel plate that comes out of the wall, and that's your bed. You have no blanket. You have no pillow. You have nothing. So you use your shoe as a pillow, and you use your shirt as a blanket, and those 24 hours are very, very slow when you're confined in an area like that. And I started thinking, okay, what am I doing with my life? And this was when I was 23, 24, around that area. And I realized that I don't want to spend the rest of my life in jail. And the fun, the ironic thing was that when I was in high school, my colleague, my classmates said that I would be in jail the rest of my life. And I was almost fulfilling that prophecy of checking that out. So I wanted to change all that. And I knew that I could do something with me because there's for some reason, people like pop into my life exactly when I need them. And they're there for as long as I need them. And then some of them stay with me for the rest of my life, or some of them like kind of drift away and you don't hear from them ever again. It's because they fulfilled their part in my life at that time. And that's what I believe. And I was very fortunate to have those people come into my life at those times, and they kind of like helped me get onto the road to where I needed to be, to get onto the road to where I am today.
Sounds like an angel. It's kind of cool. And then so from there, that's so cool that you decided, I'm just curious, so finance because of a movie again, right? Like, because you thought it was cool. I was that way with
I'm
broadcasting.
Profound,
I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a broadcaster. I know, I get the same, not a lot of like, it's interesting, the things that really propel us forward for real. It doesn't have to be something so super profound. It can be a movie or whatever. And look at how profound of an impact it has, though. But, yeah, it was that same way. I saw movies with people broadcasting in them, and I was like, oh, I've got to do that. That looks, you know, yeah, same thing. But do you know, I know, you know, you were mentioning Sylvester Stallone. I'm fairly good friends with his brother, Frank Stallone.
With Frank, huh?
Yeah. He was on the cover of my magazine, and he's done radio shows, and I've been on his radio show and things like that. So maybe I'll are you on? You're on Twitter, right? Do you use it actually? Do you like using that or whatever? Because we're pretty active in Facebook and Twitter.
I get on Twitter and say the social media as much as I can, but unfortunately, because I've pretty much booked from 5 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night, so I have people do things for me to post things. But sometimes I do post. I am a spokesperson for a company called Michaela for Women, so I post on there as well. That'll go into my feed for Facebook and Twitter as well, and LinkedIn. I'm also on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I love LinkedIn. LinkedIn is awesome. Very businessy on LinkedIn. I like that a lot. So, yeah, well, neat. Did you ever get a chance to meet Sylvester Stallone yet in all the things that you've been doing?
Maybe you put a word in for me. It's a Frankie. If they're getting along these days, I don't know. But we actually tried to get, I did a Rocky spoof, and you can see it on YouTube, or I can send it to you if you like.
I will.
We were trying to get Sylvester Stallone to come to my boxing event for the Mercy Helm this past October, and we did a Rocky spoof, and we sent it to his PR agent and asked him if he'd come join us for the day. Unfortunately, he was out in, I forget what country he was in, filming a different movie, so he couldn't make that. So hopefully, they want me to box again for next October, so hopefully we can get Sylvester Stallone out there next year for the fight. That would be awesome. So
put it out there.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we have to put it all out there. Tell us what your website is. I know I was asking you that before we went on the air. I visited it but didn't have the website. Is it ChristopherSasha.com?
It's actually FitsBodiesBySasha.com.
Say it again.
FitsBodiesBySasha.com. Fits, F-I-T.
Yes.
Bodies, B-O-D-I-E-S, by Sasha.com, all one word.
Okay, fitbodiesbysasha.com, perfect. And then do you want to tell us a little bit about your book? It's hard to write a book, isn't it? I've been through that process now for a while now. Mine comes out in April. It's crazy. So is your book available wherever books are sold? So it's Transforming Your Lifestyle, One Belief at a Time. And what's your book like? You started to tell us a little bit about it.
You know what, the things that, when you're on the right track in your life, synchronicity comes into play all the time. And that's pretty much what happened with my book. It took me a year to write it. There's 13 chapters, and I gave myself a month to write each chapter. And just as I needed information, I get it from somewhere, whether it be from a colleague of mine or a client of mine or a relative. It came to me exactly when I needed it. So writing the book was actually not so much of a tedious process for me because I knew what I wanted to talk about because I had all my clients' questions and I just organized them into different categories and then I just tried to make it flow. And I was never a great writer. I never even went to school, so all my English classes, I get D's, reps, and everything. So I actually I sent a book to my high school English professor, and he was amazed I actually wrote a book because my my English test didn't prove that I would be able to do that. the book itself is just basic. It's the opening is about where I came from, how I got to where I am today, and why I wanted to write the book in the first place. And I broke down everything from macronutrients like carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, and why you need each one of them and what each one of them does for your body. There's a chapter in there that I really like is, you know how all these fat burning companies, they can lose 30 pounds in 30 days.
I've been talking about that in this house. Like, does that work? Yeah, no.
Watch it just melt away. Just take this pill and go to sleep and watch TV and eat potato chips and it'll all go away. So I wanted to prove that the strategies, which are scientifically proven, the strategies that I use in my book and for myself whenever I'm getting ready for a photo shoot or if I'm getting ready for a boxing or whatever I'm getting ready for in a physical sense, I do these strategies and it always gets me down. So I get down to like the 3.5% body fat range, which most people don't want to do, but for what I want to create, I need to get down that low. So these strategies do work over and over time, and especially as you get older, it gets harder. But I'm 45 years old, and I can still get my body fat down to 3.5%. And genetics does play a little bit with it, but it's only a small percentage. It's about 5%. The rest of it is all up to you, what you can do and what you want to do and what your goals are and how much determination you have to make that happen. So my book just kind of goes through all that.
If somebody listening wants to work with you, can they just go to your website and ask to work with you and so forth? Or is your time spoken for? Or how does that work these days with you? Because it would be, you know, I can imagine people might want, do you have to stay in Chicago and work with you? Or can we fly you out to different places? Or, you know.
Fly me somewhere warm. I'll do it for free. Get me up to California.
That's really funny. Someplace warm. Okay, everybody listening? So I guess I can't entice you to Maine, huh? It's dear Christopher, it's really, really warm in Maine right now. It's not zero at all. No way. There's not 3 feet of snow in my front yard at all or anything. That's funny. California. We were talking about San Diego and our love for love San Diego. One of the neatest things that I've done in San Diego, and I know I haven't been all over the world or anything like that. I've just been, I was raised in Iowa, so going from Iowa to Minnesota was a huge leap for me. So I've gotten to go to San Diego a few times, and one of my favorite things was feeding the dolphins at SeaWorld.
Uh-huh.
That was not swimming with them. I didn't do that. Feeding the dolphins was good for me. And have you done that before? So
I've
cool.
never fed a dolphin.
Oh, we got to do that. We got to put that on the list of stuff we're going to do because that was so cool. They give you little containers of fish, and I'll send you a picture. They come right up to you and take it, and they're the cutest things. And they let you touch them, and they talk to you. And, I've never seen anything like that before. And, yeah, I know it. That tells you something about me. But it was so cool. Neat. But anyway, but San Diego's beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite places over by San Diego is Carlsbad, and they have these restaurants all along the beach. So you watch the sunset, and they have dinner, and it's just really romantic. It's really peaceful and calming, and it's like it just de-stresses you. It's awesome. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, I moved here from Tahoe, cold to colder. I moved here from the Bay Area, not the Southern California part, but I love Monterey also. Monterey is very beautiful, but yeah. So, all right, so you're looking for clients in California. Hint, hint, everybody listening, clients in California. and aside from that, let's say somebody's listening and they're from Iowa or Minnesota or something like that. do you do like Skype coaching or phone coaching, or how do people work with you if they really can't get to you personally?
You know, I fooled around with Skype. When my clients go out of town and they go on vacation, they still want to do the workouts. So what they do is we have our Skype names connection, and they bring their computer, their little laptop or iPad into the gym, and they do a 360-degree really slow so I can see what's in there. And they just set up shop, and I'm like, okay, take the 12-pound weights and do blah, blah, blah. And they've been with me for a little bit so they know what the process is, and when I tell them to do this or that, they can perform all that. So they get their workouts, and I've done it in France, I've done it in Japan, and a couple different places here in the United States. So it does work. It's just I like that hands-on. You know, when you're interviewing someone and you do it over the phone versus when you interview somebody in person, it's much more.
I know it exactly.
You're in person, you can see facial expressions and communicate better, right? Yeah. So, but I'm able to do the Skype and do it that way as well.
Yeah, it's probably the equivalent of me like really wanting a TV show too. Exactly.
Right.
You're like, wouldn't that be fun to fly people in and have a TV show and do all these things? Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. But if we need to, we can take you via mobile to the gym with us on our little mobile phone and have Skype and have you right there. So that's pretty cool if we absolutely need you to do that with us. I've got to ask this. I was Mrs. Maine. What's Mr. Chicagoland?
Mr. Chicagoland.
I can hear about that.
That was a bodybuilding competition that I did, amateur bodybuilding. And the tough thing is I'm 6'2", and most of these bodybuilders, I think they're like actors. They're like 5'7", 5'8". They're little guys.
Yeah.
And it's a lot harder when I weigh 200 pounds and I'm ready for a competition when a 5'8" guy is 200 pounds and he's ripped. So it's just you can see muscles more defined. You can it's just a dramatically big difference, which is why Arnold Schwarzenegger is such a legend in this business, because he's 6'2" as well, and he did well because he was able to manipulate his body with enhancements. But I don't believe in doing enhancements like that. I want to just take it naturally because of all the side effects that come with those enhancements, and I just don't want to deal with any of that and lower my risk of prostate cancer and all these other things that come along with that. But Mr. Chicagoland was, there were 13 people in my division that day. And it was my first show. And, you know, when you do something for the first time, you butterflies and you want to throw up. you can't focus. And you're sweating.
Wait,
trying to get the sweat out of your eyes.
Butterflies and wanting to throw up. Perfect. That is exactly. Yep. Sorry.
Yeah, and one of the poses that I did, I had to twist my body in a wide stance, and I was so nervous, and I was weak at the knees, I almost fell down. And thankfully, didn't knock me off for that one. But it was a great experience. The guys that are competing are, you think that they'd be your enemies, and they want to win, and most of them do want to win, but they're also very they want to help you. Most of them want to help you. They give you tips. They're like, okay, this is what worked for me. This is what didn't work for me. So I learned a lot from those guys as well. So going into the competitions really taught me, took me to a different level as discipline and determination and focus and all those things that you need to do. And the great thing about that is I took everything that I learned in the gym, learning how to focus and learning the determination to keep moving forward and taking yourself to a higher level, and apply that to every part of your life, whether it be your relationship with your spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend, or your job, whatever you want to succeed in or achieve in or get up to the next level. You can take everything that you learn in the gym, pushing yourself harder and the trials and errors and the achievements and the disappointments. You take that into every aspect of your life, and that's what really helped me to get me to where I am today, to being the top fitness trainer here in Chicago. And hopefully we want to conquer the world, but let's start small, right, and go to the next level from there.
You'll be just fine. You have a wonderful way about you. There is zero ego, thank goodness. I wasn't sure what to expect. And Mary's like, yeah, you'll be just fine. Trust me. I'm like, okay. I had no idea what to expect, and I'm so thankful that you're just peaceful and sweet. It's awesome. And it's funny because, like, you're 6'2". I might hit 5'2" on a big hair day.
Yeah, I'm so tiny.
It's funny. I'm actually maybe more close to 5'3" on a big hair day, but very funny, yeah. My kids, everybody's taller than me. Everybody's taller than me. So I have to work really hard because every ounce
of
everything
comes
in little packages. Well, but every ounce of everything shows up when you're this small. Oh, yeah, it's endless. Mm-hmm. So let's talk resolutions with people for a minute. Do you want to go there? Can you stay with me for a little bit longer? I know we're past the half-hour mark, but can you keep going for a little bit, or do you need to go?
I'm going to go for probably another 15 minutes. I'm sorry, you kind of broke up on that last one. What do you want to talk about?
Do you want to talk about resolutions at all? Like New Year's resolutions,
you know,
and things?
This
phone dying?
Perfect time to talk about resolutions. I just did an article, a blog about that, and a different interview about resolutions. People, resolutions are funny because I know what to expect because I've seen this so many. I've been a gym rat for about 25 years now, so I can go to any gym and say, okay, it's going to be busy from this time, and it'll die out by this time. And it's usually within a week to 10 days, and that's pretty much where it is already right now. People are dying out already in the gym. It's great that people have this urge and desire to want to lose weight and get in better shape every single year. And I think that the biggest failure that people have, only 8% of people that go on diets and want to get healthier actually succeed. And I think the failure rate is so high is because people don't really go about doing and setting their goals the right way. And what they usually do is, well, what do? When you set a goal, what do you do?
Yeah, I go, okay, here's what I weigh, and here's what I weigh 3 pounds less each week for 8 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever till I weigh what I want to weigh. Like if I have a dramatic, like I'm terrible like that. I yo-yo around a little bit. I might go up 15, down 15, up 20, down 20, and my weight yo-yos. And if I, probably for about the past year and a half, it's stabilized, at least I've stabilized. Now I wish it would just stabilize at, maybe 15 or 20 pounds less. So I've learned one critter. Now I need to bring it down even more. But, yeah, that's what I do. I say, here's where I am and here's where I want to be. Go.
Okay. First of all, I want to congratulate you for realizing that being a yo-yo is not good for your body at all. It's horrible for your diet, your body. Mm-hmm. Your body is a homeostasis machine. It wants to stay at one place at all times, and it'll do whatever it can to stay at that place. So I'm glad that you're not going up and down, and you're stabilized now. So now we have like a groundwork. You have a foundation to work from. And you got one part of the setting goals properly in there is that you want to lose like 3 pounds every X amount of weeks. And that's part of the problem that people have is they go in there and they say, okay, I want to lose 20 pounds. And they'll do whatever it takes to lose that 20 pounds. And usually what people do is they stop eating it. They'll eat like once a day, twice a day, and they'll eat very little. And that's horrible for your body because your body goes into starvation mode and all it does is it stores all that as fat. And that's part of the reason why 95% of dieters regain all their lost weight and then some because they're putting their bodies into starvation mode. And what your body is actually doing is eating its muscle to survive, getting the calories. It needs the calories from somewhere because it wants to stay at an X amount of weight. So what you want to do is when you set a goal, you want to be as specific as possible. Saying I want to lose 20 pounds. Okay, that's your goal, but how are you going to get there? So let's be more specific about losing that 20 pounds. Okay, what I do when I say I want to lose 20 pounds is, okay, I've got 3 months to get ready for this show. So that gives me 12 weeks. So I'm a huge advocate of losing only 1 to 2 pounds per week. That way, when you take it down slow, your body slowly adapts to it as if you lose 5 pounds. In 1 week, you're just going to rebound and regain that 5 pounds because, remember, your body wants to be in homeostasis again. So what I do is I go, okay, I want to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. How am I going to do that? I'm going to go to the gym on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays before I go to work. I'm going to get it out of the way because as my work day goes on, more and more obligations come into play, and my workout gets put off to the side. And more often than not, I'm not going to get to my workout because I have all these obligations before the day is over. So I get my workout done first thing in the morning, and then I move on with my day. But Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'll focus on doing strength training. And strength training, for all the women out there, there's a myth out there that when women train with weights, they're going to get huge and bulky, and they're going to look like a she-man or a female Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's totally untrue. I'll be giving a speech about this in a couple of weeks. Women don't have the amount of testosterone in their body to create that kind of muscle. So women, I strongly urge them to do resistance training because women are more prone to osteoporosis, and resistance training helps bone density. So it lessens your risk of osteoporosis. Plus, the more muscle you have on you, the more the higher metabolism, so the more your body uses calories. So even when you're sleeping, you're burning more calories because that muscle needs calories to survive. So you're burning more. That's one of the things that is becoming more conventional wisdom, is that muscle increases metabolism. So going back to our little specific plan, on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I do my resistance training before work, and on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, I'll do cardio because health isn't just strength training, isn't just muscle. It's also a cardiorespiratory, so you want to get your cardio in there as well. And cardio does burn fat while you're doing it, but not after you do it, whereas strength training, you burn fat while you're doing it, and you burn fat after you're doing it, called the afterburn. So it's really important to get both of these combinations so you get complete health. And then I focus on my diet, and it gets more and more specific. It's what I'm trying to do. And the more specific you are with the goal, the more success you'll have with your goals.
Yeah. Can I have a piece of that for a minute here?
No.
I love it, and it's great information because that's exactly what I believe too, and pretty much exactly what I do also. Just alternate it, cardio, and then any kind of strength training I can do. That's my plan, and that's what always has worked for me too. And I do not bulk up or anything, and I'm an old gymnast for years and years and years and years and years. So if there's anybody who knows about bulky legs, it's me. and now it seems to chill them out a little bit, actually. But can we have a pizza break and just ask you, are you fun? This is, I'm just very curious, as I was thinking about this, I'm like, do you eat pizza or anything like that? Like, are you fun to go have a pizza with, or are you just like, no, I'm not going to ever eat that ever? Or do you have a pizza component to you? I'm just curious. It's so random, but I was just curious.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. I do eat pizza.
Okay, good. Thank you.
The problem with me is a lot of people are either they're a salt person or they're a sugar person. I'm both. I like salty things and I like sugary things. So I'm like eating a pint of ice cream with my pizza sometimes.
Yeah. So what do you do? Okay, so that's me kind of. You know, I'm like a sucker for a good pizza and some ice cream. Terrible, like chocolate ice cream. Oh, so good. What do you do if you're like that? Do you just have to go to the gym and work harder, or do you really have to adopt a philosophy of, okay, don't ever eat that again, ever? Because if I don't ever eat that again, ever, then I'm prone to sit down and eat the whole thing, and your hands better not be anywhere near it. You know what I mean? You just get so hungry for pizza, or so hungry for something.
Right, and I think you nailed it right there, Elizabeth, is that when you deprive yourself of something, when you do finally let yourself have it, you eat all of it. So I'm a big advocate. In fact, it's in my book so many times. I'm a huge advocate of not depriving yourself of anything, because once you do get it, you're going to be in the worst position you were before you started that diet. So what I do is you have to learn portion control. Thankfully, finally, the food manufacturers or marketers are making smaller packages. Sometimes you see, you know, like a Coke, and Coke is the worst thing because even one calorie of Coke is awful for you. But let's say Pringles, because I like chips too. I'll get the small container of only 100 calories, and I'll only get one. I won't get the whole big box and big jar of it where you get like 15 servings. I'll just get that one serving that has 100 calories in it, and you'll get that flavor in your mouth. You'll get that satisfaction, and only 5% of your satisfaction comes from taste. So if you can, it's all the way around. 95% of satisfaction is from taste. So if you can just get that taste in your mouth and fulfill that taste for a little bit, for whether it be a day or whether it be a week, whatever you decide on your own, it'll be a lot better than buying a whole canister and trusting yourself that you'll only have 10 chips or 15 chips, which if it's in the house and if it's in sight, you're going to eat it. So out of sight, out of mind really works. And these food marketers are starting to catch on to this. So you're getting smaller servings of these things. I'm not saying that it's any healthier. It's not any healthier. It's just less of the product.
Yeah, that's part of health, too, because I think it all goes round and round. It just really does. People, you know, everybody's different on any given day. You know, you might wake up one day and go, I need a pizza, and what are you going to do about it? and you're going to think that for about 5 days in a row until you eat one. It's just going to be the way it goes with me, I think. It's funny. What else? I wonder. Let's see. I wanted to ask you. I know where I was going with that. So, let's say you do really have a mission, though, and you've got a. I've done that too, where there's an event coming up, and like I had to be on stage and dance in Las Vegas in a swimming suit, and it's like, okay, we've got to be fairly in shape for that. And you know, you back it out 3 or 5 months, and you know, and you go for it. That's probably not the best time to be, you know, chugging soda and. I don't drink soda anyway, but eating pizza. That's the one thing I don't do is drink soda. I just don't like it, thank goodness, any kind of it. But there's not the right time to have the pizza craving, right? Or is it?
I'm sorry, I was switching ears with the phone. What was that?
You know, if you really are on a mission to drop those 1 or 2 pounds every week consistently, you probably will throw yourself off with a couple slices of pizza, right? Like if you're really training for something, do you have the ability to on-off switch it where you just really don't do that for 3 months or 4 months? Or is that bad too?
Well, that all comes to the whole discipline thing. I'm finding more and more that I'm able to completely cut myself off for those 3 months or 4 months I'm getting ready for something because I have a goal and I'm like a type A personality where that's the only thing I focus on. And if I do have a slice of pizza, I'll feel guilty about it. And it's like, okay, that set me back. But the average person out there usually isn't getting ready for a photo shoot or whatever we're talking about in the physicality section. Most people just want to lose the weight so that they feel they look good and they feel better about themselves. So, you know, if you have a slice of pizza on a day that you didn't want it and you feel bad about it, you shouldn't feel bad about it. Just get back on track. The thing is that some people fall off track and they stay off track. But if you fall off track, get back on track, go back to the gym. Most important thing is to give up. If you have a choice between doing a cardio equipment or weights, do the weights because the weights are going to give you much more results from it because not only, as I said earlier, you're burning fat and calories altogether while you're doing a workout, but you're also burning more fat and calories after workout because when you're working out with weights, you're destroying your muscle, and your muscle has to rebuild itself. So it needs a lot of protein, and it needs a lot of calories to rebuild that muscle. So that's my biggest suggestion is to do more of the resistance training, incorporate weights into your cardio workout. And that's what's so great about with boxing with me. It's a great cardio workout, but it's also a lot of strength because I'm pushing a heavy bag that weighs 150 pounds as I'm hitting it away from me. So I'm getting the strength and cardio at the same time.
Good information. All right, I'm going to let you go so that I don't keep you going here. Are the odds 0 or 100% that we're both going to hang up and go eat pizza? Okay, there's 0 on my end. I promise you after this phone call, I will not go do that to myself. Anyway, all right. Your website is fitbodiesbysasha.com. Did I get that right?
Fitbodiesbysasha.com.
And your book is Transforming Your Lifestyle One Belief at a Time. And on Twitter, you are Christopher Sasha. I saw that, and I just threw a little couple tweets out there into the universe saying, hey, we were talking. And I just really appreciate you being here with me. It was so fun to meet you. Very fun.
Such a pleasure to finally meet you, too. I heard a lot about you, and Mary speaks highly of you, so it's great just hearing your voice and be able to talk with you. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Mary, special thank you to you as well. And I hope you all listen and share this show because there's some really good information in here. And I think it might be fun, actually, if you have time, Christopher, if you ever get a chance to maybe come back a little more regularly, this could be kind of cool with you giving health and fitness information on Best Ever You. If you have time, think about it. Open invitation, just come back anytime because I like the way you talk and speak and you give away really good information for people to actually use in their life so you can like listen to the show and find it useful. And the other thing I loved about you too is you're open. Some people don't want to talk about what's happened to them. And I love the fact that you kind of open up and talk. That's brave. Can I close on that a little bit? Where did you get the courage to talk about yourself and so forth? Because a lot of people struggle with that. They're like, oh, I better not say that out loud. Somebody will think I'm bad or somebody, you know, that kind of thing. What brings that courage? Is it to help other people?
Well, you know what, I hid that for a very long time, and because I was adopted by a priest when I was in my teens, no one knew I even had a family. No one knew I had siblings. No one knew I had an alcoholic father or what happened to me before this point. And I hid that because I was ashamed about it. Mm-hmm. And the kids used to laugh at me at school because my clothes came from the Salvation Army and they knew I was poor. And this was a new chance for me to start from scratch. Nobody knew that I was poor. Nobody knew where I got my clothes and things like that. So I kind of hid that for a very, very long time. And I even changed my name. I went so far to do that. And then as I got older and I was hearing other people talk about their past, and I'm like, there's a lot of commonalities here.
Yep.
And I was able to get myself out of a bad situation, put myself in a better position to be able to lead a successful and happy life. And I see a lot of these kids struggling, and it's not their fault. It's their parents' fault, and it's not their parents' fault originally. It's a vicious cycle, and you only learn what you're taught. And unfortunately, my father came from had a bad childhood as well. So it keeps going on and on until there's awareness. And I was the one that in my family that broke that awareness and said, okay, this needs to change. And because I saw so many other heartbreaking stories from these kids getting beat up from their families. And and also
no,
being,
just, you got me out. You got me here. It's like, oh. I'm proud of you, though. I think you're so cool.
So if you can relate to someone and make a connection like this and give another person hope, then that's worth everything.
Yeah, I am. Anyway, lots of love to you. You are a very, very sweet person, and I hope you come back. And you feel me hugging you from Maine. It's a really cold, frozen kind of thing, but you warmed us up. I knew you would. I'm glad I changed the title of the show because you got us all warmed up and we love you. So, all right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And good luck with everything that you're doing. I hope you really do come back. It's a genuine please come back.
I would love to come back, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for the invitation and having me on your show.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you have a beautiful day. And, I know what I forgot. We have a teleconference going on. It's besteveryou.com/teleconference, and I have a feeling that when we do one in the future again, Christopher will probably hopefully be a part of one, I'm hoping. But we've got a great speaker lineup, and if you go to besteveryou.com/teleconference, you can register to participate, and we'll give you all the access codes and all that stuff, and it's a completely free conference. It's free downloads. It's free everything, and my co-host is the wonderful Gary Kobat, and then Deb Scott is also there as well, so... Hope you'll visit us there, and I think we're pretty good. So Christopher, thank you again, and it's Fit Bodies by Sasha, right? Did I get it? Fit Bodies by Sasha.
You got it right.
All right, we're closing. Thank you. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.